This is the Top Agents Playbook podcast, episode 29.
Welcome to the Top Agents Playbook podcast, your source for the very best tools, tips, and ideas used by real estate's top performers. Now here's your host, Ray Wood.
Well, hi everybody, and welcome back to the show. It's been a few weeks since I've posted a podcast here at Top Agents Playbook, and that's because I've been on the road. In mid-October, I headed to Sydney, and I got together with my business partners there, Luke Newton, Aaron Shiner, and Ian French, and we started working, or doing the fine-tuning, I guess, for our big event for the year, which was Real Estate Recharge on the Gold Coast. That was quite a big deal. It was a lot of work. I think we started planning for Recharge about 12 months ago, lining up our speakers, lining up the day, lining up venues. There's a lot of work that goes into an event like that. Big financial risk as well, because we had to commit to the venues and you pay your money and they stitch you up pretty tight. So fair bit of stress, but a lot of fun and really good to catch up with so many friends and clients and so many great people in our industry. I tell you what, we feel so blessed to be able to connect with so many awesome real estate people. There's so many great people out there. And if you're listening to this, I want to say a big thank you for being part of our podcast. Hopefully, if you didn't make it to one of our events, you can certainly come next time. So there's so much going on. Speaking of Recharge, we're going to be putting together the audio and the DVD. If you went to the event, or even if you didn't get to the event, you're going to want to grab this. So make sure you go to topagentsplaybook.com and sign up for my free ebook at topagentsplaybook.com, and you will be first to hear about the DVDs and the audios when we produce it. So that was a big, I think I was on the road for about 5 weeks or something. It was great to be in Queensland. Then I went down to Victoria to spend some time with my parents and my brothers and all their family and so many friends down there. I then went to Vancouver to catch up with my daughter Tori, and I was there for her birthday, so that was fun. Then down to Southern Oregon, where my son Charlie's playing hockey, and spent a few days with him. I hadn't seen him for nearly 12 months, so it was just great to reconnect with everybody. By the time I got back here in Toronto with a really bad cold that you can probably still hear the remnants of, I got back, I'd had a dozen different flights. I'd traveled almost 40,000 kilometers, I worked out. I'd driven about 3,000 miles and stayed in 12 different beds. So I was completely exhausted and totally out of it and out of energy and everything when I got back. So I almost got pneumonia. I got on the penicillin, stayed in bed for 4 or 5 days. And boy, that was 2 weeks ago, and I'm just starting to come good at the moment. So it's been quite the journey and quite the ordeal, and really stressful putting an event together, but so satisfying all at the same time. So I produce all of my podcasts myself. I record them, then I mix them, I balance them, I add the top and tail and the different things that I need to do. I'm a bit of a something of a perfectionist, I guess. I really want it to be as good as it possibly can. And again, we've got the phantom typist in this interview coming up, so I don't have the technology or equipment to get rid of that. It's not me, I promise. I do not know where it comes from. And I asked Toby, he wasn't doing it either, so that's kind of weird. So let's talk about this interview. Toby Salgado is a guy that I've known for a little while. Toby's got an awesome podcast called Super Agents Live. Toby's based in San Diego, California. And Toby's got a history in real estate investing, actually, as he explains at the start of this interview. He's a really interesting guy. His specialty, however, apart from his awesome podcast, and you've got to check it out at superagentslive.com. I'll post the links actually for this and also Toby's email in the show notes, so you can check that out. But the main thrust of this interview is about radio advertising. And if you've ever contemplated advertising on radio, or even if you've done it and you want to do it again, or you want it to be more successful, I'd encourage you to listen to this. And Toby talks about a formula, and there's four specific things here, a few of which I didn't even know, but it makes so much sense. So I really think you're going to enjoy this interview. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. I love your work. Dream big, take names. Let's get into our interview with Toby. Well, Toby Salgado, welcome to Top Agents Playbook. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Ray. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for setting aside some time today. Toby, I know you're a leader in the real estate radio advertising space, but tell me how you got your start in real estate.
You know, so my background, it's so funny. Over the last 20 years, I've launched six companies, and they've all been in different industries, but they've all sort of been tapping around real estate. I think the first real thrust that I got to in real estate was back in, you know, after Lehman failed in September of 2008.
Right.
Banks scattered, right? You couldn't, it didn't matter what kind of a business you had. You could have revenue, assets, income, profit, everything. You couldn't get a loan. So there's lots of companies who wanted to grow, needed to scale, couldn't find money. So at the time, I raised a little $12 million fund and we were doing bridge loans for those companies. Now, it just so happened as we did those bridge loans and we were doing $2 million takedowns, we're doing $10 million takedowns. All those deals were secured by real estate. So I got to see how many of these larger transactions were structured in real estate, number one. Number two, in 2010, the Fed, when banks were tipping over, the FDIC would come in and sort of, you know, manage to take over their assets and try to give people back, you know, as much money as they could. So the Fed took over this bank, little bank in outside of Sacramento, California, and one of the things in its portfolio, it had a $73 million construction loan. And it was in this portfolio, it was 66 houses, 520 fully developed lots ready to go vertical, right? Asphalt, curb and gutter, and another 420 paper lots. So the Fed auctioned this thing off. So we looked at it. Nobody wanted to touch the thing. We actually scrounged up one of the old superintendents that did all the underground work. He knew where every pipe was. We pumped him for information. Anyhow, we got a good feeling for the deal. We threw out an offer to the Fed of $3.2 million.
Right. And that's a bit cheeky. And you got it?
And we got it. So $73 million to $3.2 million. So we ended up getting this portfolio. And all of a sudden, like, that's clearly my first start in real estate. Now, you know, I mean, I've done a bunch of other little stuff. But all of a sudden, I own, it was five of us that did that. So I own all this real estate. And then I really said, well, geez. And I got to tell you, right? So I come at this specifically as a real estate investor.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
That's... And then so after we bought that deal, you know, we knew we were going to have to hold it for a while. I took $1 million of my money and I said, well, if I can do this with a portfolio, I'm sure we can do it with onesie twosies. So I went out and I bought one, two, all of a sudden I had like 12 houses. So that's kind of how my start, but that's my first real foray into real estate.
Well, that's a pretty gutsy effort insofar as, I mean, things were pretty sick back in 2010. I guess that was a calculated risk. You probably felt it wasn't going to get any worse.
No, look, what I knew was that the value was there. So I knew it was like fundamentally no way. You know, we ran the numbers left, backwards. We were just like, can we lose money in this deal? And you could just slice that thing up. There's no way we could lose money in that deal. So, and I'll tell you, we ended up 3 years later, we ended up selling it back to the same developer for $9
million. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, that's a happy ending. That sounds like a great deal.
And it was funny. I'll tell you. Sorry, not to cut you off, Ray. But it was funny because that's when I was managing the fund. That's when I got my first real look into radio advertising. So there's one big guy that's been around doing it for a while. You know, he figured out the model. And his business was sick, you know, in late 2009. And he came to me through a series of people that we know, and he tried to sell his company to me. So it was at that time I really got a good look behind the covers of what this successful company was doing. And it was so natural after I did my show, started my show, it was just such an easy transition to say, well, this is really needed in the marketplace. Not very many people are doing it. And I know how to do it because I got a look at literally every nut and bolt of what this other guy was doing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I should mention as well, just so our listeners know, that you're the host of the High Rating Podcast for real estate agents, Super Agents Live, and you guys can check that out. Head on over to superagentslive.com. And Toby, I think you've got over 200 podcasts in there now. Am I right? You started in 2013?
Yep, we started in late 2013. Yeah. I think we have about 200 live and active, and I seriously, man, I have probably like another 60 or 70 like just lined up ready to go.
Yeah, including one with me, I think, at one point. tell me about radio advertising for real estate agents, because I know a lot of agents have tried it. They've kind of experimented with it and toyed with it. Very few have actually followed through, because I think very few follow the formula. Tell me about it and tell me about the formula.
Sure. So look, radio is genius for a few different ways. I mean, it's really, you know, look, a lot of people say radio and print is dead. Not true, right? Not everything's going mobile. Not everything's digital. Radio works. Now, the deal is, you can't just go and buy radio and TV time and think that it's going to work. It's not going to. There's four main pieces you have to get right, and you have to get them all right. Getting three right and one wrong equals disaster. So here's the deal. So why radio is brilliant is because, unlike any other marketing or advertising medium, you can clearly select and choose for a demographic. You can target a demographic. Now, you can do it on Facebook ads. That's probably the only other real platform you can do this with, but you can target a specific demographic. Now, I'll completely transparent with what we target. If some of my other competitors heard me telling you this stuff, like this stuff is secret, honestly. But it's not that much of a secret, but it is secret. So look, here's what we target. We target men, 35 to 54, 75K plus income, and own a home. Okay. We need all those things together for it to work.
Right.
So that's the first thing. Now, a lot of people say, well, why do you target men? And the notion is that, for the most part, throughout America, you know, women do the shopping and men do the work. That's just the deal. Now, certainly you can look at Washington, D.C. or San Francisco, and traditional families aren't necessarily, you know, that's not Omaha, right? That's not Omaha, Nebraska.
Right.
So that's the demo that we target. Now, the formats that there's lots of formats, right? There's music, there's public talk, there's news, whatever. So we find that the spoken word works the best. So that's news and talk. Okay.
Okay.
So number one, you have to get the right station. And a lot of, for us, we can jump into any market across the US and find the best station. So, and here's what we do. Okay. So number one, that's the demo. Now, if you know how to talk, you know, if you know radio talk, you kind of know how to do this. And what we do is we pull Nielsen ratings, right? The same thing that TV advertises. We pull Nielsen ratings. We will first order those stations for that demo, right? 1 to 10, we'll order them by audience size, right? Okay. Who has the biggest audience? Secondarily, we will then reorder them for percentage of home ownership. Okay. Now there's specific, there's a few things I won't tell you, but there's a specific percentage that we look for, right? If we go under that percentage, we won't buy that station. It's got to be a certain. So number one, where's the biggest audience? Number two, get the right percentage of home ownership in the audience. And then three, we'll reorder it for income. Now, ideally, we will come like number, ideally one station will come up and it'll go biggest audience, right? Well, right demo, biggest audience, biggest home ownership, and highest income, right? So boom. So now if we can do that, that's 70% of the battle. So that's the first thing you got to get right. You got to get on the right station. The second thing you got to get right is the placement, your ad placement, okay? Now, you can mess up a little bit on copy, right, copywriting, if you have better placement. Now, what we most always do – now, look, and let me explain this. So every station is different. They will have different number of breaks per hour, okay? So some stations might have 2 breaks per hour, which means you're going to have a commercial island of 8 to 12 minutes, right? So if you just say, oh, yeah, hey, look, I got the right station. Let me give you money and let me buy an ad. Well, you might be in minute 4, Yeah. In minute four of an 8-minute island, you're dead. Nobody's listening to you.
Yeah.
So what we try to do, we try to get – it's called first in pod. Basically, we want to be the first commercial.
Okay.
So you got to get placement right. Now – and there's a lot of moving parts to this because first in pod or first spot, it can come after a station promo, which you don't want, right? That's a little bit more complicated than what I just said. But for simplicity purposes, I'll just say you want to be the first commercial.
Yeah. Okay? Yep.
You got to get that right. The other thing is, who is going to voice your commercial? Is it going to be you? Is it going to be some unknown person? Are you going to go try to hire a celebrity? So what we do is we typically, and this goes into station choice, is we will look for a host that has been on that same channel, on that same day part for the longest period of time, right? And we'll once we find that host, we go, okay, hey, listen, where does in his AM drive, midday, or PM drive, right? We'll run an hour by hour ranker. So we'll look at the audience size. We'll see, okay, where is there swell? Does it get swell 7A to 9A? And if so, we'll try to negotiate for that specific day part. We'll hire that guy. We'll give him the right copy and he'll do your spot, right? So ideally, the guy's talking about the news and all of a sudden he goes, hey, you know what? If you've been following real estate and you need to sell your house, you got to call Ray. Let me tell you about his amazing program. Okay, so right channel, right ad placement, and right host, right? Correct execution.
Yeah.
And we can talk about copy in a second. But the last piece, man, the last piece is this, is how much does it cost? And everybody wants to know that. How much does it cost? And I'll tell you, it's all over the map. So we have clients in Cocoa Beach, Florida, right? We can buy prime day part, top number one station for $20 a spot. I mean, dirt cheap, $20 a spot.
Yeah.
But let me give you a sense here of the range. So $20 a spot in Cocoa Beach, $150 a spot, and this is a 1-60-second spot, $150 a spot in Orlando, $350 in Denver, $650 in Chicago, $1,000 in Dallas, $1,400 in DC, and there's one station here in Southern California. It's got a giant signal, literally from the northern part of LA to San Diego. $1,700 for a 60-second spot.
That's a news and talk station.
That's a news and talk. Yeah, Coco. Yeah. That's a news and talk station.
Yeah.
So look, and here's the deal. I don't care how much I'm paying for a spot from $10 to $1,000 is irrelevant. I literally don't care about that.
Right.
What I care about is how much we're paying to reach 10,000 people. Okay. So when you buy internet media, it's called CPM, cost per mil. When you buy radio, it's called CPP, cost per point. Now there's very, very specific thresholds that we buy in. And again, this is one of the things this is the secret sauce of it.
Yeah, also, okay. Well, I think you've given us a lot of good stuff so far. So yeah, tell us what you can.
Yeah. So again, you have to buy, you have to be within a very specific threshold on that CPP, and that's what we optimize for. If you're over the threshold, you're not going to get a return. The lower you can get that, you know, within the range, that's when you're going to get a return.
Yeah.
So again, you have to get those four things right. If you get one of them wrong, you're going to blow up. It's not going to work. So those four things, and then the last piece is copy. You need to know, and this is kind of a sort of another piece of the secret sauce. You need to be able to look. Radio is direct response, right? And if people don't know what direct response marketing is, a good example of it is those late night commercials. It slices, it dices. Is it $39.95? Nope, it's $19.95.
Yeah,
call right now. For the first 10 people in the next 10 minutes, call right now and you get this bonus for free. Wait, is that it? No, you also get a bonus. So radio direct response, you need to write copy where you can't just say, hey, Ray Wood's the best guy in the world, the top number one agent in town. That doesn't work. You have to give them a direct response copy. Hey, listen, need to sell your house. Ray is going to sell your house in 30 days. If he doesn't, he's going to buy it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then so you throw out the offer. And again, when you do that offer, there's very specific, that needs to be delivered in the first 7 seconds, right? You're going to be the first spot. You want to have that offer in the first 7 seconds. Then you tell them how, How is Ray so awesome? Ray has an exclusive marketing system that he's designed, proven to get you top dollar, proven to get you 18% more, proven to sell your house in 30%, right? So offer, you explain how, then you give social proof. Just last month, there was a house on the market for 2 years with another agent. Ray took it, applied his system, sold it, full price offer, all cash in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, just last month, Ray sold a house for $20,000 more than the comp said it was worth. Call Ray right now. So, yeah. Again, very specific structuring for the copy, right? Offer, how, social proof, call.
Yeah. Yeah. With a really strong, I guess I'd call it an irresistible offer as well.
Absolutely.
So, Toby, what about a lot of the people that I know who've done radio advertising, the station has said, oh, okay, you're going to be what they call a run of station, which means your ad could be on at 3:30 a.m., it could be on at 10:30 a.m., anywhere. So so what you're saying is that you really need to dictate the terms. If you're going to do a contract or an agreement with a radio station, you've got to follow these principles and make sure that they can lock in your time for, I think you called it the island, the ad island, the
yeah,
one between
commercial
the
island.
Yeah. So it's got to be first. And are all the ads 60 seconds?
Yes. So you need to establish, let me back up. So 100%, you need, if you're going to buy radio, you need to know what you need to speak radio language, number one, right? So you can't be like, you in those, and you have to understand the demographic, you know, men 35 to 54, right? 75K plus and own a home. Typically where, you know, your sweet spot is going to skew older, right? It's going to be the 45, the 55 year old guy. So those people, dude, if you're airing your spot at 10:30, those people are already in bed, man.
Yeah.
These people are early to rise, right? These are business owners. These are executives. So yeah, you cannot let the station tell you where you inventory for them. They will give you the crappiest inventory they can because you're a civilian working, you know, trying to buy. You need to be a professional in this.
Yeah.
So yes, number one, you have to dictate every single piece of your campaign. You have to understand why and what. And again, if you don't know the language, they will try to run all over you. Radio is so funny, Ray. It's such an old medium. In a lot of ways, buying radio is a lot like buying a used car, right? If you buy a used car off a car lot, you know that you're going to get a better deal at the end of the month. You know that you're going to get a better deal at 10:30 right before the place closes, right?
Sure.
Rather than 9 a.m. on the, you know, first week of the month.
Yeah.
So radio is a lot like that. You can fund it. Here's a good way to illustrate this. When you go to a hotel, there's always on the back of the door, there's always like their terms of service kind of. And they will give you a rate, at least here in America, they will give you a rate on the back of the door. And basically you will, there's two things. Number one, that's the maximum rate they can charge you, right? Because they have to have it posted. But number two, 99% of the time, unless it's New Year's Eve, you're not going to pay that rate. So when you reach out to a station and say, oh, geez, I'm interested in airtime, the first thing they're going to tell you is that back of the room.
The rate. Full rate. Yeah.
The full rate. Because you don't know any better.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't know if I answered your question. Right?
You did. And I guess one of the advantages in going with somebody like yourself is that you know what the advertiser should be paying, and you would know the hot buttons to push to negotiate a better advertising rate. Am I right?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, Ray. And by the way, if somebody's in Australia, I mean, we can do it for them in Australia, no problem.
Okay.
So the deal is it how we are compensated, basically. You don't pay us anything, right? You are our client. When we take you to a radio station or a television station, they treat us like a buyer's agent. So they give us they give us 15% of your airtime.
Yeah.
That's how we make money.
Okay.
So it's like, why wouldn't you work with an agency? Now, agencies can be a lot like stations. If you don't know how an agency works, you know, I've heard of stories where people, you know, go to an agency and they say, hey, give us a $30,000 retainer. And if you'll pay it, they'll take it. So again, if you understand how this world works, you know, it's crazy not to work with somebody like us.
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly sounds like it. Are these AM or FM stations, just out of interest?
Both.
Okay. And if I'm advertising, what kind of length do you normally run for, a number of weeks, or is it a month?
Oh, no. So, yeah. It's a good question. So, number one, radio is a funny thing because radio, it adds a multiplier effect to everything else you're doing, right? So, because it's, you know, people are driving in the car, right? They're checking their email, yelling at their kids, whatever, and they hear your spot, and then they get a mailer from you, right? Or somebody from your office cold calls them or whatever, right? It just, it adds this weird multiplier effect to everything you do. So, yeah. Number one, if you do radio, and I think everybody should, you need to think of it as a long-term thing. You can't, I mean, not to say that you can't get results in a month. I mean, we've had people where literally we run, you know, we aired the first spot on Monday and on Tuesday got a listing, right? Yeah. We've had many of those happen. But for the most part, it's something that the older you season, right, the longer you go out, the better it works. You just get more entrenched and more entrenched and more entrenched. So yeah, you need to look at this as a long-term thing.
It has an accumulative effect, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going on. Can you tell me about some of your success stories? I don't even know if you'd know specifics, but return on investment, not dollar for dollar, but just, sure, I guess, in quantities of listings, like some of your more successful campaigns, because I know you've had so many.
So I'll tell you this. What we shoot for, 3 to 5x return. Now, if you don't know what that means, I had some person, I said, hey, yeah, we shoot for 3 to 5x. And they're like, oh, what's that mean? But so that means that, you know, if you give us $1,000, we want to get you $3,000 to $5,000 back, right?
Gotcha.
We want a 3 to 5x whatever you give us.
Yep.
And we always hit that, right? The question is, do we hit that in 4 weeks? Do we hit that in 6 weeks? Do we hit that in 8 weeks? We will always hit that for you. It's just a matter of timing. Now, we've had some markets, where, you know, our client will get 10 to 12x. We have one girl in New Jersey, her phone, like literally from day one, just blew up. Absolutely blew up, right? So she gives us $6,000 a month, and every month she gets $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 out from that.
Wow.
So it's like, why wouldn't she, you know, again, it's like she'll never quit radio.
Yeah.
But look, let me explain something to you. Where radio works best and where it struggles. So radio is not created equal. Radio works best in smaller markets, and it gets more challenging in larger markets. And there's a few very specific reasons for that. One, why it works best in smaller markets is because, you know, ideally our go-to formats are news and talk, right?
Yep.
So you go to Casper, Wyoming, where there's, 125,000 people, there's going to be one news and one talk station. And it's going to be a smaller market, so they're going to be cheap enough that we could probably buy both. Now, when you get to a Dallas, for example, you have 6 news, 6 talk, and 6 sports stations, right? Now, here's the main reason why that gets challenging. Because now, fictional market X, there's a population of 1 million people. Now, a real number is 25% of that population is going to listen to radio, okay? So you have 1 million prospects. All of a sudden, it goes down to 250,000, right? 25%. So you go from 1 million to 250,000. Now, when we look at station Y, a real and a specific day part, a real capture rate is going to be about 1 to 2%. Right,
okay.
that's a real number.
Okay,
right. So and the higher that rating will be, 1, 1.7, 2.3, whatever it is, right, the better chance that you have. So again, 1 million prospects to 250,000, now down to 25,000. And then you have to go, okay, well, typically, you know, at any one time, what percentage of the market is interested in selling their house?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's that ranges, but, you know, let's say that's 15%, right? 15% of people are thinking about it. So now 25,000 times 15%, now you're talking to 3,700 people.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And that's fine. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of listings. So, but the deal is, again, when you go to Dallas, when we buy in Casper, we're going to, and we can buy both those single, you know, both the news and talk station that are there. We're going to capture all those people, right? Whereas in Dallas, all of a sudden that 25,000 people that are listening to radio, there's six news, six talk. Now all of a sudden they're diverse, spewed. They're divided amongst 12 different sources.
Yeah.
So you can't buy them all. So you need to be very, very good at buying radio in larger markets. So that's the first reason why larger markets are tough. The second reason, Ray, is because when you look at a Dallas or Chicago, it's just sheer geography.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, in LA, it'll take you 2.5 hours to drive from one side to the other.
Yes.
Now you can mitigate that, and we, you know, by looking at signal strength, right? So ideally, you want to overlay the signal over your coverage area. Now you can't always do that, but you know, that's one of the things that we look at, right? How tall is that antenna? Is it 600 feet? Is it 800 feet? And what's the wattage? Is it 50,000 watts? You know, is it 80, you know, 125,000 watts, whatever. So, I think I got sidetracked, buddy.
Yeah. I've got a quick question that I've been writing down questions since you've been talking. And one of the ones is, why aren't more agents doing this? And is it because they think that they're targeting too great an area?
No, you know what? Like, here's the thing. It comes down to awareness, right? Either one, you're not aware the how powerful radio is.
Yeah.
Or two, you're not aware of the real costs involved. And three, right, it gets too daunting for you, right?
Like, sure.
if you start to go down this road on your own, there's a lot of decisions you have to make. And I think people go, holy crap, you know what? I don't know how to do it. I'm not gonna risk $3,000 a month, $4,000 a month.
Well, the example of your lady in New Jersey who, you know, her phone's ringing off the hook, she'd have to have a pretty good system in place to handle this much inquiry.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to. I mean, just like a Boomtown, right, or Commissions Inc. or Tiger Leads. You know, you have to have a team for those tools to work.
Yeah,
and you know, you can't. I'll tell you what we did. We're very careful about who we work with. We don't just work with everybody who can write a check. You know, I had a conversation about a year ago with a guy. This is our Orlando group, and it was just a single guy. It was him and his partner, and he's like, Toby, I really want to do radio. And I said, man, you're not ready, right? You are not ready. And he talked me into it. He said, hey, you know, please just like I'll do whatever you say. I said, okay, man, all right, we'll put you on the air. And I was very concerned about him because when I spend my client's money, I think of it like mine, right? I mean, I'm very careful with it. So we put him out and literally, man, in the last year, we've 5X'd his whole company. Like he's a whole different guy now, but I think he was sort of the exception. I mean, he was a really coachable guy. He was willing to do what I asked him to do.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. I mean, I keep thinking of, you know, like you say, it's a no brainer. If you get the formula right, a 3 to 5 X on your investment is not too shabby in anybody's language.
No. And again, what you can't quantify. So you can get 3 to 5X on your pure radio calls. But, you know, what about all those other things? How much more effective did it make that mailer, right? How much more effective? Look, here's the thing.
It's the carryover effect of your other marketing. Yeah.
And the other thing that radio gives you, Ray, it gives you an intense amount of credibility, right? When you're on the radio, when you're on TV, like you're legit, right? Like you're just automatically you're legit. And the second thing is when we get these hosts to endorse you and say, hey, listen, if you're thinking about selling your house, you got to call Ray. Here's an amazing program. These calls are essentially referrals, right? Because I know and listen to Jimmy Jett. I know that guy. I've been listening to him for years on the radio. I like him. I know him. I trust him. And when he says, call Ray, you know, it's an endorsement. I mean, those you show up, they're basically come list me leads.
Yeah, I've heard the ads that have run to that formula here in Toronto, and they are exactly that. It's one of the prime announcers on the station, and he says, I even forget the guy's name. He might be one of your clients, Toby. I'm not sure, but he'd say you got to speak to Bill. If he can't sell it for you in 30 days, he's going to buy it back. If I was doing this tomorrow, I'd be doing it.
Yeah.
He recently sold for Bill and Mary Jones, and they'd been on the market for 8 months, couldn't get anything. He had them sold in 5 days, blah, blah, blah. And there's just like an overwhelming amount of evidence to support his claim, I guess.
Yeah. And here's the thing, when those spots are done, you know, when you have good execution, this goes back to choosing a good host, but when you have good execution, it doesn't sound like a commercial. It sounds like the guy was just doing his thing and all of a sudden he started thinking about radio and real estate, and all of a sudden, you know, he's like, hey, you know, I got to tell you about my buddy Ray.
Yeah. It's sort of like a really good advertorial. It just happens really naturally. And I think people pick up on that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, dude, I mean, look, I do this for a living and sometimes I will get got. I mean, I recently was listening to the radio and the guy was talking and he's like, hey, you know what, man? He's like, hey, John, are you using that Invisi gel, whatever? He's like, man, where did I put it? I can't find it in my drawer. Everybody's stealing it. And I'm like, and I'm thinking, what is this stuff? What is this what is this product? And I was intensely listening to it. And then all of a sudden it went to commercial and I knew. I was like, oh God, he got me. That was a first in pod read.
Yeah, he tricked you with your own line, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me about, Toby, does it need to be an individual agent or can it be a company? Are they better off promoting the personality?
That's a really good question. I don't know that I've ever really thought of that. It's not necessarily about Ray Wood or real estate Ray's team, It's more about the offer, right? It's more about the copy, right? What is Ray or what is this company going to do, right? Yeah. They're going to sell your house in 30 days. So it works either way. Yeah, that's a good question, but it's more about the offer than anything else.
It's going to be more potent if they're capitalizing on the or speaking about or highlighting the personality of the individual rather than the team, aren't they? Aren't they going to want to say, look, talk to Toby. He's a great guy. He did this, this, and this. So he's the guy you want to talk to, et cetera. He's the trusted opinion.
Well, I mean, but they can also say, hey, call the guys over at
whatever team. Yeah, XYZ Real Estate. Yep. Yeah. Okay. As far as content goes, one thing that always interests me, the call to action. With the different ads that you've done and the different examples, is there one kind of call to action that works better than everything else?
In the olden days, right? In the olden days, it was all pick up your phone, call right now, pick up your phone, right?
Yeah.
And then when the web became ever present, it became hey, go to www.raywood.com because not everybody, again, in the olden days, not everybody had a website. So that was a cool thing. Hey, go to our website. Now, for the controversy today is, do you say pick up the phone and call Ray right now, or do you say call Ray at 555-555 or go to www. Now, for us, our stance on that in terms of call to action, we do not mix funnels, meaning, you know, we don't mix a website and a phone number.
You have one clear call to action.
We'll do one or the other, but mainly it's pick up the phone and call.
Okay.
So mixing funnels is not a good thing.
Okay. Do you do any top and tail? Like if you've got the first 60 seconds at the start of the commercial island, will you do like the last 30 seconds as a reminder, just like a PS?
No. We'll do the first. I know what you're getting at. So once you've been on a station for a while, right? So let's say you're on station X. You're running, one of the things is, it's called frequency, okay? And what frequency is the number of times a single person will hear your spot. And again, there's a very clear algorithm to look at your schedule that you're running and to back it in and go, what is the frequency here? It's 1.3, 1.7. Now, we shoot for about 1.3. Yeah. We don't need, with the right copy, we don't need a bunch of frequency. But so you're running the appropriate frequency. Now let's say that you know the math, you know how big this day part is that you're making a beachhead on, right? The AM day part.
Yep.
Once we feel that we've gotten to density, right? Once we feel that we've gotten good coverage over that 25,000 or 50,000, whatever, however many people that is listening, what we will then do is we can start to cut back some of the 60s and then do 5 second sponsorships.
Okay.
Right? We can, and you can do 5 second, 10 second, 15 second, right? You can really, really cut back and, you know, and you can put an audio flag in, right? So a doorbell ringing, ding dong, call Ray Wood Real Estate, right? Because again, they've already heard your offer. They've already heard your thing. So, we don't do reminders, but once again, you get to a certain sort of density, you can start to cut back on the full length 60s and goose it with these 5 second spinners.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. That's awesome. I've learned so much in just such a short space of time. If anybody would like to know more, I'd suggest you reach out to Toby. You can email him, toby@superagentslive.com. But definitely go to superagentslive.com and subscribe to Toby's podcast. He's talking to top performers there. I mean, I run my own real estate podcast, obviously, but I'm such a fan of Toby's work, and I just wanted to get him on the show and pick his brain. And man, you have delivered so handsomely. So thank you very, very much. It's been awesome.
Yeah, sure, no problems. No, yeah, I'm happy. If anybody's got questions, I'm happy. You know, I always answer my emails, so feel free to give me an email. Happy to help in any way I can.
I'll vouch for that. I as Toby came straight back to me as soon as I reached out to him to do this interview, and I thank you for that. Thank you, man. Great to chat. I look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, buddy.
You've been listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast. For show notes from this episode, recent podcasts, and lots more, go to topagentsplaybook.com.